And we're reading again this evening from the book of Galatians, beginning our reading in chapter 5 and verse 22, and reading into chapter 6 and verse 10. We considered the closing verses of chapter 5 last Lord's Day evening. Just want to read them again to put these verses in chapter 6 into their context. Those closing verses of chapter 5 focused on the fruit of the Spirit. And now we're going to see some practical outworking of the Spirit being at work in the church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, into chapter 6 and verse 10. Let's hear God's word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who sees instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Please keep your Bibles open at this portion in the Word of God, where this evening we'll be looking just mainly at the first two verses of Galatians chapter 6, these first two verses. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. You see, our main theme is this: one way in which we should carry each other's burdens. One way in which we should carry each other's burdens. I want to begin with a very, very well-known quotation, probably known to most, if not all of you. It's a quotation that goes back a long way. It's actually a quotation from one of my favourite poets. I studied way, way back, many years ago, at secondary school. His name was John Donne, known as one of the metaphysical poets, whatever that might mean. According to my memory, I'm not sure, but he was a very gifted poet. But this is perhaps one of the most famous lines that he ever wrote in his poetry. No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent. No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent. I actually saw this quote recently trying to criticise Brexit, but that's not the context of it. John Donne wrote this while he was very ill. It's part of a book of poems entitled Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions and Several Steps in My Sickness. Not maybe the most memorable title, but in those days books had long titles. But it's significant that he writes Several Steps in My Sickness. John Donne was seriously ill when he wrote this poem. And it might well be that that's what made him realise the interdependence of human beings upon one another. that no man is an island entire of itself. That's something that even human society recognises, even if it can't put into practice very well. You don't have to be a Christian to recognise that we're interdependent, that we need one another, and we ought to be there to support one another. People of the world will see the value of that, will acknowledge it. Again, if I may go back to my school days, I must be getting nostalgic in my old age. If I can go back to my school days, I want to now use a foreign language. Some would say it's not a foreign language, an Irish language. There is a famous Irish proverb, and it goes like this. Erskaha keela avaran nadine. Erskaha keela avaran nadine. People, literally, this is translated, people live in each other's shadows. And what it seems to mean is this, that we're meant to shield one another and shelter one another from extreme sunshine. I don't know why that arose in Ireland, but anyway, that appears to be the meaning behind it, that we're there, as it were, we live in each other's shadows, we're interdependent. So even, you know, general society recognises that people need each other, that nobody is completely and utterly self-sufficient. They need other people. Of course, most of all, we need God. And doesn't the Old Testament bring home to us the same principle? There's a portion in the book of Ecclesiastes, and chapter 4 and verse 10, these verses are often quoted in relation to marriage, and of course they're relevant to marriage, but they're also relevant to caring for one another, that we're dependent on one another, that we need each other. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 10, if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. Pity the man, pity the person who falls down and has no one to help him up. There again, the wise and inspired writer of the book of Ecclesiastes recognises interdependence, our need of one another. And this is certainly seen in the passage in the Word of God that we're considering this evening. That as Christians we should see this far more clearly than the world does. And as Christians, we should be able, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with God's help, to practice it in a much better manner than the world ever could. So our theme this evening is carrying each other's burdens. I'm going to begin with verse 2, because that sets down the general principle, and then work back to verse 1, which sets down a particular example of helping one another. First of all, I want to begin with an exhortation. There are three headings: an exhortation, an explanation, and an example. And the first one is an exhortation. And you have it there in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Here's an exhortation. Here's a command from the Word of God, addressed to believers, that we're exhorted and commanded to be carrying one another's burdens. This, of course, is in the context of the fruit of the Spirit, that unity and harmony and care that should distinguish the Christian community, because the Holy Spirit is at work in its midst. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And here's one of the ways in which the Spirit is to be at work in the Christian community, helping us to bear one another's burdens. Somebody has put it like this: it is easy to talk about the Spirit while doing very little about the work of the Spirit while doing very little about it. So Christians need to realise that it is in concrete, caring situations, rather than in emotional highs, that the reality of the Holy Spirit in their lives is demonstrated. It is in concrete, caring situations, rather than in emotional highs, that the reality of the Holy Spirit in their lives is demonstrated or exhibited or shown. That the experience of the Holy Spirit is not just some kind of mystical experience or a flight of fancy, but that the Holy Spirit is working in you and me and in our church communities. This is one way in which it will be seen.
we will be bearing one another's burdens. The picture tries to illustrate that, of people helping to carry each other's physical burdens. And this is an exhortation that we constantly need to hear. We constantly need to hear it. How easy it is for any of us, any one of us, to become selfishly absorbed in our own personal needs, or just selfishly absorbed in our family's needs, so that we become short-sighted or even blind to the needs of our brothers and sisters round about us. So we don't clearly see and we don't appreciate the real burdens that may be weighing down some of our brothers and sisters in our midst. And we don't do anything then to help them to carry those burdens. Can't that happen? Can't it? We've plenty on our plates, each one of us. Unless we're being filled by the Holy Spirit, we'll not be inclined to feel we have time or energy, and we won't have the burden to help people who have real burdens pressing hard upon them. And there's another aspect to this. John Piper, one of his writings, John Piper is a great gifted preacher, one of his writings, he speaks about the virus of self-reliance in the Christian community. The virus of self-reliance. By that he means that we can be too proud to admit that the burdens in our lives are just too heavy for us to carry on our own. That somehow or other I just muddle through and manage it. I don't need anybody's help. Now, of course, a lot of time we can deal with it ourselves. Surely, in all of our experience, there are times when we do need the help of others to enable us to carry burdens that are just proving too heavy for us. Beware of the spirit of proud self-reliance that would make you unwilling to let your burdens be known, to ask for prayer for them, to ask for practical help with them from your fellow believers in your Christian community. Or there could even be another factor at work. Perhaps you might be slow to do this simply because you say, oh, I don't want to bother anybody with it. I don't want to bother anybody else with it. They have enough to be doing. I can see how busy they are. I can see how much is going on in their lives. No, I can't. I need help, but I can't bother anybody else with it. See, even though people may be very busy and may have plenty for themselves to deal with, surely nevertheless in the Christian community, your brothers and sisters should be ready to go the extra mile to help you to carry your burden. I suppose we should ask here in this context, what are the burdens that Paul writes about here, that he's inspired to write about? What kind of burdens should we be helping one another to carry? Of course, there are many aspects of them. Somebody has summed it up this way. We need to carry each other's burdens when temptations oppress us or life depresses us. When temptation oppresses us or life depresses us. I think when we think of burdens that we're to carry, we tend to predominantly think of that second category. And it is a very valid category to think about, although as we'll see, Paul has it maybe primarily in mind the other category in the context. But he certainly wouldn't rule out these other kind of burdens that are common to us all. What might they be? Well, there are a whole range of things. There could be a whole range of burdens that our brothers and sisters here that are carrying that maybe we know little or nothing about. Here are a few examples of some heavy burdens that believers can be called to carry, and which they certainly need help to carry. Think of the burden of grief. The burden of grief. Wouldn't it be sad if there are people in our congregation or your congregation deeply grieving a severe loss, and there's no one there to sympathise with them and support them? I think we're very good at doing that in the early days, in the immediate aftermath of a death or a funeral. But could it be the case that then, when a few days pass, haven't we all a tendency maybe then to forget about them? And yet grief doesn't end so easily. Grief goes through a number of stages, and grief can be a long-lasting thing, especially where the loss is a severely felt one. Could there be people in this congregation or in your congregation who are bearing a heavy burden of grief, and they do need to know that you sympathise with them and that you care for them in their loss? How about this one? Here's another heavy burden that believers are often called to carry. The burden of chronic illness. Chronic illness. I'm not a doctor. I'm sure they'll correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand the word chronic, it's something that's an illness that's there constantly. It's an illness that can't really be cured. It's there week by week, month by month, and year by year. It can be controlled. The pain can be lessened. Symptoms can be lessened. But it's there. It's not going away. What a wearisome burden it can be to have to live with chronic illness. Constant pain and constant weakness. What support and encouragement, what prayer people with chronic illness need to receive from their brothers and sisters in the Lord. Here's another one, and I think this could be a very common one as well, though not one perhaps that people would be as willing to speak about. How about those who might be under a burden of debt, even through no fault of their own? Debt is widespread in our society, and it doesn't take much to plunge any of us into a burden of debt. Now, of course, the primary responsibility for that is within the diaconal ministry of the congregation. But if you became aware of a brother or sister in the congregation who is struggling under the weight, the heavy burden of debt, dreading when the next bill will come through the door, would you think of helping them to bear that burden? Would you think of putting your hand in your pocket and helping them to bear that burden? Burden of grief, the burden of chronic illness, the burden of death. And here's another one. And this is a very real one that Christians suffer from, just as other people suffer from it. How about the burden of loneliness? The burden of loneliness. Surveys of our society would say it's a massive problem. But as community life is broken down in modern society, there's so many lonely people out there. Could there be lonely people in our congregation? Could there be a lonely person who's burdened with loneliness, who would really appreciate a visit from you? Who would really appreciate even a phone call amidst a long, long day being spent on their own to hear the warmth of a brother or sister speaking to them? Could there be? Think about it. Consider it. Could there be a brother and sister in your congregation whom you can help because they're bearing the burden of loneliness? These are just some. There may be other burdens here tonight we're not aware of, but in all our lives at times, there can be occasions when we have burdens we find too hard to carry. So this exhortation is so relevant, and it's one we need to keep hearing so we may do more as brothers and sisters in the Lord to carry each other's burdens. And maybe you can relate to this evening. I trust you can. Can't you think of times when you've been so, so thankful that God sent a brother and sister alongside you in a time when you were being weighed down and overwhelmed by some heavy, heavy burden. At just the right time, in just the right way, our brother and sister was there for you. They were there for you. Something we should be very thankful for. I remember that one time in my own life, in ministry in Galway, and I had many, many blessings and happy days in Galway. But there was a time, a very bleak time, when I was at a low ebb. And there were many people who encouraged me, many brothers who encouraged me. And there was one particular brother, who I will not name, he did something very practical. He sent myself and my wife away for a weekend. So he realized that we really needed it. It was a very considerate and practical way in which he showed brotherly concern for us. Here's an exhortation. Carry each other's burden. The Lord is the ultimate burden bearer, of course. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. But he often does it through the ministry of his people. So here's an exhortation. Here's a command for us to keep on obeying and fulfilling it even better than we have been. Then there's an explanation given why we should do this, an explanation for this exhortation. What is the explanation? What is the motivation? And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now that's an unusual expression, isn't it? That by carrying each other's burdens, you will in this way fulfill the law of Christ. One person says that this New Testament phrase is of uncertain meaning. Well, he wasn't much help to the preacher. That the law of Christ is of uncertain meaning. Let me try to explain it. I think in the context, what is meant by the law of Christ, the other place where the phrase is used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21, where he says that he's not free from God's law, but he's under Christ's law. Paul says, I'm under Christ's law. How should we understand this? How do we fulfill the law of Christ by bearing each other's burdens? Well, I have a couple of verses here, I think, that cast light on what is meant by this. I think this does take us back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Just go back into the chapter, the previous chapter. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbour as yourself. A single command in relation to our interaction with one another. Love your neighbour as yourself. So it's certainly linked back, I think, with that. But more than that, didn't our Lord Jesus Christ himself give this command to his disciples that they were to love one another, practically care for another? John 13 and verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Here's Christ's command. Here's Christ's law, if you like. And his command is that his disciples love one another. Now, of course, loving one another has a whole range of facets, has many expressions. For example, one way in which we love one another is when we forgive one another. And that isn't an easy thing to do. But with the Spirit's help, God's help, we can do that. And forgiving one another, we are fulfilling the law of Christ to love one another. But equally so, here in the context, surely whenever we bear one another's burdens, we are fulfilling Christ's command. The very opposite of the kind of thing that the Pharisees were doing. How different the Lord Jesus is from the Pharisees. Here's how he speaks of the Pharisees, those just outwardly religious people who had no love really for the people under their direction. Matthew, he says, 23 verse 4, the Pharisees, they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, But they themselves will not move them with their finger, won't lift a finger to move them. That was the Pharisees. Whereas Jesus urges us to bear one another's burdens. It's an aspect, an important aspect of obeying the Lord Jesus and therefore fulfilling the law of Christ. So in bearing one another's burdens, you're doing what the Lord Jesus is commanding you to do. So that's the exhortation. That's the explanation or the motivation. And then thirdly, we have a particular example of what is involved in bearing one another's burdens. Remember how I said that the burdens that we have to carry fall into two categories. The one which I've already mentioned, those things that depress us, those burdens of life that depress us. But then there are also spiritual burdens, temptations and sins that can drag us down. And in the first verse, that's what Paul has been addressing. Here's one way in which you and I are to carry each other's burdens. There's only one way. There are many other ways. Here's one way. By restoring one another whenever one of us falls into sin. The word restore here is again a medical term. Used in other contexts as well, but it was used in a medical way. It was used of setting a fractured bone. And a fractured bone is no fun. It needs to be fixed, needs to be set. And that word was used in that way in the ancient world. And if you like, here is spiritual medicine, which some of our brothers and sisters need. They need to be spiritually restored. And once again, of course, the Lord is the ultimate restorer. And he uses his word to restore us whenever we fall. But then he can also, alongside that, use our brother or our sister or our brothers and sisters to help us up when we have fallen down. Just want to ask three questions in relation to this aspect of bearing one another's burdens. First of all, who needs to be restored? Who needs to be restored? Well, look at the passage. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. If someone is caught or trapped or overwhelmed or overcome by a sin, some way in which they have clearly fallen into sin and it's a serious matter, they need to be restored. They need spiritual medicine. They need to have their broken spiritual bones set. Of course, that can happen to any of us. Let him who stands take heed lest he falls. The devil is there to tempt every one of us. And it could happen to any of us that we could fall into sin, a serious sin, and be caught in it. And we need to be restored. Second question, who should restore him? The brother that has fallen into a sin, that has been caught in a sin, who should restore him? Well, look again at the passage, verse 1. You who are spiritual should restore him. You who are walking in line with the Spirit. Obviously, if somebody else is equally drifting away from the Lord, they can't be in a position to help. Here's someone who's spiritually mature, they're spiritually strong, and they're able to give a helping hand to the one who has fallen down. Notice not just the responsibility of church leaders. It certainly is their responsibility. In the book of Ezekiel, when it's referring to the shepherds of the flock, one of the responsibilities is to help to heal those who are injured in the flock, those who are ill and those who are injured. So it certainly is the responsibility of leaders. But in the first instance, if you as a brother or sister become aware that your brother is caught and trapped in a sin, it is your responsibility to reach out to him or her and seek to bring about restoration in his or her life. It's addressed here to brothers. You're a brother, you're a brother and sister, they're in danger, they're in spiritual danger. They've fallen down. They need you to help them up again. Just don't turn a blind eye. That would be the temptation, wouldn't it? Well, I'm not getting involved in this sort of attitude. Well, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. If it's bad enough, the church leaders will deal with it. I'll just keep a safe distance. I'll not get involved. It could become messy. I'll just stay back. Or maybe even worse than that. Here's another way for not acting in a brotherly or sisterly manner. Here's another way we could wrongly react. You could start gossiping about it. Oh, did you see? I was down the town last night. I saw so-and-so. And I saw them come out of the nightclub. Well, they shouldn't have been. And I think they weren't steady on their feet. Did you know, better tell you. And that's all you do. You pass on the word as a kind of gossip. We're capable of doing that. Whereas our first thought should be, here's a brother. He needs to be exhorted. He needs to be challenged. But he needs to be restored. He needs help. He needs spiritual help. You who are spiritual should seek to restore him. And then, lastly, third question. How should you go about restoring him? Well, the emphasis here, interestingly, is on gentleness. And that's exactly the same word that's used of one of the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. Back at verse 22, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness. It's the same word that's used there in the previous chapter. With gentleness, not with harshness. I suppose, arising from being conscious that all of us can fall. With the attitude, there but for the grace of God go I. Not with some kind of superior attitude. Oh, that would never happen to me. The spirit of gentleness. And indeed also with a spirit of caution. Because there is a danger in getting alongside someone that rather than you helping him to get up, he might pull you down. So there's a word of, you have to do it cautiously and prayerfully. It says, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Here then is a particular example of carrying one another's burdens. What a good thing it would be to be able to restore a brother or sister who was trapped, caught in some sin. What a brotherly action that would be. What sisterly love that would be to benefit them spiritually in such a way. It may be that they would not want the help. It might be that they would turn on you, and then it would indeed be a matter for discipline. But you pray that it would be effective in restoring them. John Stott, as always, sums this up very well. He says, if we obeyed this apostolic injunction as we should, much unkind gossip would be avoided. Much unkind gossip would be avoided. Much serious backsliding prevented. Because the person wouldn't go deeper in. Much serious backsliding would be prevented. The good of the church would be advanced. And the name of Christ glorified. And the name of Christ glorified. Three things then for you to meditate upon. Arising from this passage in the Word of God, remember this exhortation and this command. Take it seriously. You are practicing it, but practice it more. Carry each other's burdens. In so doing, you will be fulfilling the law of your Master and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one particular area, be ready to seek to gently restore those who have been caught in sin. For that is indeed a brotherly action, helping to carry another's burdens.